Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading that we heard a few moments ago about Jesus and living water is the same text that we used the Sunday that we were in Tanzania. We had arrived in the village on Saturday about midday, and I was excited to be there because I've heard so much about this partnership from so many of you in my time here at Prince of Peace. But what I wasn't prepared for was the kind of welcome we received. We couldn't even see the village yet as we're driving along this very bumpy dirt road, and there were people singing and dancing and waving branches waiting to greet us. We got out of our vehicle and we walked with them in kind of a celebration parade. It didn't matter that only Jim and Karen had been there before, and Lee and I had not met them before, or that we didn't speak the same language. It crossed all of those barriers. And after they had showed us where we were staying and we had had tea, then Karen said to the group of us, "Now we go to the church so they can welcome us." I looked at her and said, "Aren't we already welcomed?" And she just smiled and said, "There's more." And there was throughout the whole course of the 5 days in the village. In today's reading about living water, Jesus says that living water flows out of believers' hearts. When you hear the term living water, it may echo back for you to the story of the woman at the well. If you recall, the Samaritan woman was a stranger, an outsider, and she was at the well in the middle of the day, all by herself. And Jesus approached her. Now, a man would never do that in that culture. And yet, Jesus came up to her. And Jesus asked for a drink of water. And she looked at him and very practically said, "But sir, you have no bucket." And that was the opening of a conversation about water that quenches our thirst, but also living water, spiritual water, this faith and love that Jesus brings and what that means. She was excited to hear about this and ran to the village to tell anybody who would listen. Now, in Bomalungombe, we were the outsiders, and I especially felt like an outsider when I was trying to say words like Mchingaji, which means pastor, and names that I had trouble saying or pronouncing or remembering. You have heard us talk about Pastor Tawele. He has now been pastor there for about 10 years. And there's also a new associate pastor, and his name is Pastor Mwelela. It took all week for me to learn that. And he is my prayer partner, so I really need to know his name. I was grateful when he said that his wife is named Joyce and his daughters are Deborah and Abigail. I can say that! And then when we were at a school, we met a teacher whose name was Elizabeth. That's my name! And then a student named Elizabeth. And finally it dawned on me that Elizabeth was a name that they knew and understood, but they had as much trouble with Betsy as I had with many of their names. So even though I don't use Elizabeth very often, many of you might not even know that was my name, I decided that that made more sense to use the longer name that was easier, apparently. And then I had to try to remember to introduce myself as Elizabeth. I was feeling less like an outsider. On that Sunday, I was invited to preach, and this was our text. It was our first full day in the village, so I didn't really feel like I knew people in the context very well yet. Our translator was Pastor Msigwa, who is pictured next to me in the picture. He is on the Iringa Diocese staff, that is like the synod staff, and his role is the partnership coordinator. So he works with the congregations in Tanzania that have partners with congregations in the St. Paul Synod. And he has a great sense of humor. Up until the time I preached, we had this running joke. He would ask me how my sermon was and if it was going to be good. I said, "I don't know if it's going to be good, but you're the translator. Isn't it your job to make me sound good?" So he said, "I'm not going to make you sound good. I'm going to make you sound very good." Unfortunately, he's not here today. Our partnership is called Bega Qua Bega, which means shoulder to shoulder. And there you can see us standing shoulder to shoulder as we were in front of the congregation. A pastor from America, a pastor from Tanzania, a pastor who speaks English, one who speaks Swahili. But standing in front of people who all know the story of the woman at the well, a story we tell here, a story they tell there. And we were connecting. We were truly shoulder to shoulder. And later in the service, they invited Lee and Karen and I to step out of the sanctuary with some of the women, who we later discovered were from the Batik group, and they put these dresses on us. They had not had measurements, they'd only seen a picture of us, and from that, they figured out our sizes and made us clothing. I was absolutely overwhelmed. Even though I was preaching, it was them that were showing us how living water flows out of believers' hearts. It was truly a welcome and a partnership. Now I'd like to call on Lee and then Karen to share other stories of our experiences.
Ooh, sorry. Let's try this one more time. Kamwene. Nice. Karen will share with you in a minute one of the three pillars of Bega Qua Bega, prayer. I'm going to talk a little bit about the second and third pillars, presence and projects. Before the trip, when I would tell people outside of Prince of Peace that I was going on a mission trip to Tanzania, people would always ask, "What are you going to do there?" I struggled to answer this question. What was my purpose there? Pastor Betsy's purpose was clear. She's the pastor, Mchungaji. She's going to preach with some help from Pastor Mwela. Jim and Karen, in addition to making sure we got there and back safely, thank you, by the way, were returning to visit old friends on this, their eighth trip to Bomolongombe. They provided the history and the continuity of relationship between Prince of Peace and Bomolongombe, literally. In one of the pictures, you see Karen bringing a gift of a photo book from the 2017 trip to present to the congregation in Bomolongombe. So I was left with this nagging question of, what am I going to do there? As it turned out, I didn't need to do anything. I just needed to be. I needed to be open to new experiences. I needed to be present with the congregation, with our neighbors in Bomolongombe. I needed to be curious about their lives and be willing to share a little bit about my life back here at home with my family and here at Prince of Peace. I needed to be present to hear their stories, to take pictures as well as I can. I'm not the best photographer. And to return to Prince of Peace to be present with you all today to share those stories and to share that experience with you. One of the stories that I want to share is about Erasto. He's in the picture on the left there. He is a member of Aringa Hope SACOS. And during our meeting with Aringa Hope, we had asked members to share their stories of how they were helped by the loan program. Erasto shared that he was able to take out a loan to buy seed and fertilizer that helped increase his crop yield. He then sold the crops, and after paying back the loan, he had enough money to send his children to school and even to build a beautiful new home. Erasto built his new house, and shortly after it was completed, he learned that it was built too close to the road expansion and needed to be torn down. Karen will talk a little bit more about the road expansion in a bit. Now, if I were sharing this story, if I was willing to get up and even talk about this, I might feel angry or frustrated or sad that my brand new house was going to be torn down. And Erasto likely had those feelings too. But when he stood up at the Ring of Hope meeting to share the story with us, he didn't sound angry or sad or even disappointed. He sounded amused. Like this was just one of those funny things that happens in life. And that this was a minor setback that could be fixed with a new loan and a good crop next season. Erasto's sense of humor and optimism about the future was something we witnessed again and again in the people in Bomolongombe. And one of the things that we heard in going to the meetings and being present throughout our time at Bomolongombe was to hear about the projects that they were doing. It was exciting to attend the meetings for the various projects that I've heard about throughout the years here at Prince of Peace. The Widow's Goat Project, you can see the picture on the left. Goat in Swahili is mbuzi. The Women's Batik Group, who in addition to making these beautiful dresses for us, which I'm amazed they could do based on just a picture, especially at my height, they actually showed us how they make their batiks. The picture on the top left shows the fold that they do. It's called the samosa fold, based on the shape, you can tell. And then they actually invited us to make our own batik. The picture in the middle is our finished batik project. We did a much simpler fold. One of the other projects that we learned, or that we've talked about here at Prince of Peace, is the Million Trees Project, if some people remember collecting nickels for that a few years ago. In addition to the evergreen trees that have been planted and then the timber sold that's raised money for Bomolongombe projects, they've now expanded and are growing avocado trees. And the picture you see there is of a woman replanting the avocado trees. They need to be replanted a few different times before they are planted in the ground and then will yield more avocados quicker. It was wonderful to hear all the different projects and all the progress that those projects have made throughout the years that we've helped assist them in Bomolongombe, and then to also hear about their plans for the next step in the project, that hopefulness coming through again. I feel very fortunate to have visited Bomolongombe and to be present with our neighbors there, and now to call them my friends, and to have learned that I didn't need to do anything special, I just needed to be present, to be there with them in partnership, to be a neighbor to them, and also to bring back the many gifts that are out in the hallway. Each person gets 2 suitcases, so he needed to have me there for that. And I hope that in the future that I will get to return as a returning friend and bring new friends and family with so that they can continue that partnership. I have some excited children who would like to go as well. Thank you very much.
Buona Asifiwe. Amen. That's praise the Lord. Buona Asifiwe. Amen. First of all, I want to thank the members of Prince of Peace for all that you've done, for your prayers, for your support, for all of the financial and gift support that you've given to our relationship over the years. Of the 3 pillars, our Tanzanian friends would say that prayers are the most important. And there's a couple of different ways in which this manifests itself. First of all is individual prayers. And several years ago, we started a prayer partner to create one-to-one relationships. The prayer partner for Brian Wolf is the retired pastor of the congregation, and he shared with me that every Friday morning, they sit down and they pray for Brian and Deb. Betsy received 2 new prayer partners, and Lee received a prayer partner, people that wanted to be partnered. And towards the end of the trip, many of the prayer partners came up and wanted to send greetings, many of them coming gifts. So it was actually a little bit of a parade. Somebody would come up, most of them would have a little card, they'd have a little gift. I would take about 3 pictures so I could sync everything up afterwards, hand the gift off to somebody, and the next person would come up. So it was a parade of prayer partners. It really shows the deep connection and the love that our friends feel for us over here. Next, in terms of the corporate, you may have noticed in our bulletin over the last couple of years that we've been praying for the health of Pastor Tewele. 2 years ago when we visited, he shared that he was in immense pain from his back, probably a herniated disc. He spent most of the time there resting. He didn't travel around with us, and you could just tell he was in obvious pain. And we've been praying for him ever since. Well, I'm happy to report that he is doing much, much better now. And I've got just a short little video clip from one of our greetings just to show how his health has improved. And this is also a great way for us to pray in peace. We need to try that during passing of the peace sometime. So his health is much better, for which we praise God. They also have a number of joys of Thanksgiving and also some challenges that they'd like us to pray for. So first of all, a few years back, we kept hearing that they were looking to purchase a vehicle for the congregation. And shortly before we got there, they've purchased a van. It's a used van, but it's one that's going to help them transport more effectively. And they've created a van committee to help with the maintenance. They've hired a new driver. So after one of our first trips there, our driver was giving their new driver tips on how to get around those bad roads and how to fix the engine. You can see they've got a spare tire already set. And most of the vehicles you'll see in Tanzania have sayings on them. So on the front windshield, it says, Njioni kwa Yesu, which either means come with Jesus or come to Jesus. A good slogan for a van. So we pray for that the van is going to be a blessing for them. We pray for the safety and the skill of the driver as they use this for God's ministry. As Lee mentioned, they do have some challenges. So the good news is that the roads there are really, really bad. 2 years ago, we actually got stuck for like 3 hours because of the road was so bad. So they're going to be paving from the next largest town to Bomolongombe, which is going to be great for being able to get around. Unfortunately, many of the houses, many of the businesses, and part of the church are in the way of the road. The church has a big red X on it, which means that they built the church where the original road was supposed to be so they don't get compensated for it. There's a little line that shows where they need to tear down part of the church. They don't have to tear down the whole thing, but they have to tear down part. There's new businesses, new houses. So on our last evening at our partnership meeting, we asked, you know, how soon do you have to tear the church down? And they said, very soon. And so jokingly, I said, tomorrow? And they said, well, yes. They had gotten an exception because they had visitors coming. So they were allowed to keep the church, but they have to have it torn down by the end of June. And so after our 6 a.m. Devotion, the morning we left, after the service, we all went out and we took hammers to the church steps, bega quebega, so that they will be able to do there. Now, the good news is that they are looking to create a more modern church, and there's others that are working to help them make that a dream. They're also looking at some of the advantages that the new road can do. So you're going to have better road. They've just created a new house for the pastor. We were the first ones that got to stay there, and it's gorgeous. They're going to take the other pastor's house, which was also very nice, and make that into a guest house for people to stay. And so we asked, you know, with the new road and the nice new guest house, are you hoping that this might be an income generation? And they said, of course. So we pray for that expansion, the road and the renovation, so that they can help with that. And then finally, they have experienced growth. I saw so much energy in the congregation this time, and so much hope for the future. Before we left, we found out that there was an additional preaching point. So you've got a main church, and then you've got preaching points that are served by evangelists. So Mangalali is their new preaching point. We knew about this when we went over there, and we brought them this beautiful banner. But what we also found out was that they're actually looking to add an additional preaching point, Manu, which is also out that way. And then the other thing that we found out was that one of the preaching points, Vikangwa, has grown to grown to such an extent that they're actually looking to possibly spin off into a new congregation. So we asked a little bit about that. They need to have a certain weekly attendance. They need to have a certain amount of offering that comes in to financially support it, and they have to agree to it. And then they have to have a good house for the pastor. So we, up in the upper corner, we got a chance to see the house that they've purchased in anticipation of spinning off as a new parish with the new pastor. So it was really exciting to see the growth and the expansion of God's work over there. And one of the things that when you go over there, you realize is how much exuberance and singing and dancing there is as part of worship. During the offering, we're going to show a video clip that shows a little bit about our entrance that Pastor Betsy mentioned, and then also some of the singing during the and dancing during the congregation. But to give us a little bit of a taste, we're going to do a song that we did right before we left here. It's Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu, which means we are the children of the Lord. So if you want to give me a G, it goes, Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu, Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu, Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu, Alleluia, Alleluia. So I'm going to have you say the phrase, Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu.
Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu.
Okay, and now we'll sing it twice. Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu. Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu. Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu. Alleluia, Alleluia. Sisi Ni Watu Wake Mungu. Mchungaji.